ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
I'm going to be honest with you. It is nice to see smiling faces. It really honestly is. And Jordan Kleber and Matty Hudak, who joins us on Tuesdays. It is, honestly. At the same time, I'm depressed. But happy Tuesday to you guys. How y'all doing?
Tired from carrying the Sports Hangover on my back.
Yeah. Oh, no, I understand. And I tell you what, reality hits you quickly when you spend several days out, you know, I don't know, in the Atlantic Ocean, the bay.
The boat.
Having your four-year-old drive you around on the boat and you just get to chill and relax on a Monday. Like, that's what a Monday should be like, right, Jordan? Isn't that what a Monday is? Isn't that? I mean, to Todd and Maddie, is that how y'all spend y'all's Mondays? Is that how it works?
A boat?
Yeah, yesterday? No?
Yeah, we brought one in here just
into the studio?
Yeah.
A super thanks to Sammy and Regina, owners of the 305 Baby, that took us out on the boat yesterday, which was ridiculous. It was awesome. It was cool. Very cool, Jordan. You've grown up on the water with your dad.
Correct.
So it's kind of cool to sort of see my little four-year-old
he loves the water?
He's like, you should see, I have a video, and I'm going to post all this stuff later, but I just took it so seriously, which I'm glad, you know, with so many boats and yachts and everything out there. Please don't, you know, run us aground. Don't take us into, you know, he wasn't doing the old left and right thing. He was, you know, he was looking for the green post going one way and the red post going the other, staying in the channels. And we explained it to him, and man was serious. I'm like, relax a bit.
Do you have your boating license?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I believe you.
What are you doing? What are you doing, man? He's four. I don't know. Can you get a boating license at four?
Okay. Yeah. We're talking about Carver.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. No, he's fine. He's fine. He's the captain.
No, it was awesome, though. So super thanks to Sammy and Regina. There's a sandbar out there. I mean, it was insane. It was just beautiful weather. Everything was great. I was there for my uncle's birthday. That was fun, especially when it's like, I don't know, 3:30, 4 in the morning, your wife decides to just jump in the pool. You know, everybody else. And I'm like, it's 4 a.m. Right.
Maddie, I'm sure there was nothing that was, you know, put into their body.
Consumed?
Yeah.
Consumed.
No. For them to jump into the pool.
Not at all. I am just really surprised how it's very normal in the wee hours. Like, music's blaring. I'm like, is this how y'all live? I mean, it's... obviously New Orleans is lots of music. You go in the quarter and there's music, but there's like noise ordinances, right? This is just the backyard with the pool and the party, and I play DJ. It was fun.
All right, Maddie, next week you and I are going to go to Miami with Todd.
You really honestly should.
We're going to call up those people.
Yeah, it's very refreshing, but like I said, there's a good part of it that was fun, relaxing, got to see a lot of family. It was their first time they got to see Carver. Because last time we were there, Anna was pregnant. So I got to actually see him. That was awesome. The bad part about it is, like I said, reality hits. And now my son thinks that is how we live. And that is absolutely. I'm 45. My uncles lived there, you know, since birth. And my grandfather. So I've been to Miami several times. Never been on the water. 45 years.
Carver does it as what, first
no,
time?
Never. No, it's never happened. No one's owned the boat. I mean, it's like, you know, so again, thank you to the 305 Baby, you know, Sammy and Regina, friends of our family. And now they have a boat. And I might have insinuated a time or two in the last couple of weeks. I'm like, well, I'd love to go out there on the water and everything. So yeah, I've never been. So yeah, this little dude here is just incredible. Just things like this is life. And, it's not. It'd be nice to spend every day in a pool in your backyard and, you know, go on the water in the Atlantic Ocean and just play. And by the way, he met a little friend.
You did send me that picture.
I was very proud. Very proud Papa. Very proud Papa.
Pulling.
He had her build his own little sand suite, Maddie. I guess it's like what we would call it.
Yeah, even a
sand
castle.
There's photographic evidence of this procedure. Yeah. She'd go get a pail of water with sand and dig it out, and he pointed. This is where you go. My man was an architect. You know, I mean, he's the one that describes what he wants and what he likes. And
maybe get,
then you have builders.
Maybe she get Papa Kleber. Papa Kleber to
yes, she
teach
played a role of
things.
Papa Kleber, except that, you know, then they kind of played in the sand suite area there. That would not be probably Papa Kleber does, but yeah. Her mom took pictures. I took pictures. I was very proud, you know. 4 years old, man. It was a good trip. It was a good trip. So thanks to everybody on my family side, Regina and Sammy as well. Obviously, thanks to you guys. Maddie, we still have a show and we still have a studio. So things went well on Friday. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it didn't burn down. So
it was good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hudak takeover.
Yeah. I saw that. You, yeah, it was really nice. And Jordan, everything went well yesterday?
Yeah, everything went well. Just been planning out a few new things that we're going to be doing here in the up, you know, from here on out to implement into the show. And also just this upcoming week's guest.
Yeah, I saw you had a little video now with our guest list.
Yes.
And nicely narrated as well. You know, so you didn't even have to, like, read the guest list or anything.
Yeah,
or
just,
if you
want
to look at
honestly,
why.
Honestly, just play it if you want.
Well, I love it. You know, it's sort of like, well, instead of having, did you just pat yourself? Is that what that was? Was that a gentle hint?
I wasn't going to.
No, Maddie, that sounded like a gentle hint to, I did the work. Can you at least, you know, play it a little bit? Didn't it? I mean, it kind of sure seem that
I could just read off the guest list now.
No, that's fine. I'll play it as soon as I pull. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know this was what I was doing. But yes, from here on out, if there's a guest list or whatever, you will let us know what happens. Right? Let's see how we did this here. Here's Jordan and go. Oh, it would help if I plugged it in. See what happens.
No, he's on vacation still.
This is what happens. I mean, I literally go away a couple days and forget how stuff works. Oh wow! There we go. Oh, we got the music sounder, Maddie.
What's happening? On June 8th edition of the Sports Hangover,
there it
I'm
is.
Jordan Kleber. At 12:30, we have Caroline Fenton, co-host of Spillman & Company from 102.5 The Game, to talk about Julio Jones' trade over to the Tennessee Titans. Starting the second hour of the show, at 1:15, we have Vegas himself, Rafael Esparza, to give this week's sporting odds.
All of Vegas, are you?
At 1:30, we have Warriors psychologist Scott Goldman to join Gus Kattengill. The Sports Hangover crew also touches on LSU baseball's win against Oregon, moving on to the Super Regional. At 2:30, we have Michael Rothstein to close out the show, talking about Julio Jones, what that means for the Atlanta Falcons heading into mandatory minicamp. You can hear all that and more here on the Sports Hangover from 12 to 3 on ESPN Radio New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Jordan. So that's our show today on Tuesday, June 8th. Oh, by the way, you heard several big things that took place there. Obviously, the trade, saw that happen, so we're going to find out what's going on there. But last night, obviously, the big story, LSU had to win several games. What, four games facing elimination, right? Four straight Ws?
Yeah, I think it was they're the sixth team since 2014 to lose the first game of the regional and then come back.
Things didn't look good.
Win it.
Things didn't look good. They were down, what, the second game, right? And they came back and did that. And I don't know. There was Rally Possum a couple years back. Rally Possum, right?
Correct.
But that's when a possum, Maddie, ran across the field and brought LSU good luck. And from that point on that season, it was called the Rally Possum when they were down. I don't know what it was up in upper northwest over there at Oregon. But for whatever reason, apparently there was a lot of throws to first at a certain point in the game. And this happened.
Now Summers again almost threw to first.
It's a balk.
And it is a balk. And that'll give Beloso second base. That'll give Cade Doty home plate. And Summers spent the entire at-bat trying to keep Beloso at first. He ends up giving up the run, and the Tigers take an 8-7 lead.
Nothing like the go-ahead run on a balk there, Jordan. That's always good. And Mr. Chris Blair, LSU Sports Radio Network, no doubt was happy.
Marceau looking in, determined to find an out pitch here to punch the ticket to the Supers for the Tigers. The 1-2 pitch, hit in the air to right. Cruz giving chase. Cruz has got it, and the Tigers win! Tigers win! 9-8 a final here in Eugene, and Coach Paul Maneri will take the Tigers to the Super Regionals. The Oregon Ducks are done in 2021. LSU celebrating on the field with a gutsy performance all the way around. The Tigers deservingly win this game tonight in dramatic fashion. 9-8.
Deep into the night, by the way, that game was. Like, as in deep into the night. By the way, I don't know how Eastern people do it. I really honestly don't. I mean, it was like 10:30, 10:45, 11. You lived in Philly. I don't know. How do you do it?
You're up till 1 in the morning right? watching football games.
Yeah. Well, again, I did say in the opening segment, that's why I guess it's very common to be 1, 2 o'clock. I mean, like, we started dinner in that party Saturday night at 11. 11.
At the party.
That's when the food was served. Yes.
Is that the same night that the pool party happened?
Well, yeah. It wasn't a pool party. It turned into a pool party into the wee hours.
Makes sense.
Morning, yes. So anyway, LSU's on their way to the Super Region, what, number 15, as you said?
Yes.
And we have the dates and times. Do you have that?
Well, I know they play Tennessee.
Yep.
I believe they start the series Friday and
Saturday.
I just got that.
Yes. Yeah. Saturday at 6 p.m. Sunday at 11 or 2 on either ESPN2 or ESPNU. I guess they'll let you know. Never seen that before. Depends, you know.
At least it won't be 9 o'clock.
Right. And then Monday, if needed, 3 or 6 o'clock Central. Either ESPN2 or ESPNU. So ESPN2 on Saturday, 6 p.m. And obviously, if needed, it'll be Monday. But Saturday 6, Sunday 11 or 2. Just worry about Saturday at 6, and then they'll tell you during the game when's the next game. So, there you go. What are you grinning
at? We'll probably figure out more later in the day about the different times.
I'm telling you, it's at 6 o'clock, LSU says. See y'all in Knoxville on ESPN2 or in Knoxville. Hey, don't look at me. They're the ones picking two different times. I'm just reading.
ESPN
the,
did
I'm
have
reading
a problem
the graphic.
In the first Oregon game.
Yeah.
Couldn't pull it up on the ESPN app.
Couldn't do that, could you?
And then there was a replay of another game that happened earlier in the day. Mm. So a lot of people were PO'd about that.
Oh, really? A replay?
A replay.
So where's the live game? Maddie, that's not the same. A replay. As opposed to a live game.
Certainly not when it's from a different game, especially.
I have not gone over it. I promise. I haven't forgot about it. But Saints minicamp today. Right? Kind of? Sort of?
Technically.
Technically, now,
is this something
Coach
have?
Payton has talked, right?
No, he has not.
Oh, we're still waiting for Coach.
So when you saw my face change at the beginning of the show,
is that
with
what
me
it is?
Up my hands,
yeah.
I got someone from the Saints said, sorry, Coach, will not be available right now.
Well,
we'll have players first.
He
so Jameis Winston's
he was
right
scheduled
now.
At 11:50, and then we have a host of players speaking today. So we will have that throughout the afternoon, because literally, as Jordan just said, it is throughout the afternoon that is going on. They have two separate groups of teams of players that are going, Maddie. It looks like offense and defense essentially on one side. Quarterback Jameis Winston, quarterback Taysom Hill, and Alvin Kamara and Cesar Ruiz. That's interesting, right? Because you kind of mentioned that might be one of the key moments we were talking about last Tuesday. Saints player needs to have, and you said whoever's the center. Mm-hmm. And we sort of believe and think that they're going to make that move this year. Well, he's being made available first of all the linemen.
Well, I did ask this question to Nick Underhill, and he actually kind of gave the opposite viewpoint, that they feel like they've invested a lot of time into his play at guard and willing to kind of see that out, because McCoy is kind of very settled into the center role, which is one of like the most mentally difficult positions to learn. So while I thought that switch was kind of guaranteed, it might not be the case.
I'm assuming somebody will ask that probably to head coach Sean Payton here when we get him. Also today, speaking, cornerback Marshawn Lattimore, defensive end Marcus Davenport, linebacker Zach Bond, and defensive back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, a.k.a. CD Deuce, and Carl Granderson. What are you grinning about?
I think it's just safe to say that almost everybody that you want to hear from is going to be talking today.
Pretty good, you know. I'm sure, later on this week. But my point is, I'm not, like, not going. It's just, it is technically their minicamp. This is how it was explained to me. No 7-on-7. No team drills. As a matter of fact, no practice. But it is mandatory attendance. Hey, they're ready. Jordan, I mean, look, I'm just ready to go. Maddie, we don't need practice. We don't need no stinking practice. I mean, that's how it works. Look, this is obviously something that if someone negotiated with the CBA, the team kind of opting out and not, still doing it. Although, yes, I'm just saying, Tom Brady today, Jordan, had his first practice at Bucks. Everybody else is practicing and everybody else is there. But the Saints are just, you know, we're here. we're here, and we're going to have fresh Saints sound from players, and I guess in theory on how they're coming along. Because, Maddie, you asked, is there availability? Can we go watch practice? There is no practice.
Just some team bonding, apparently.
It's not even like 7-on-7. It's virtual. Maybe they play each other in Madden or something. I don't know. It's just very odd to me.
They do play Super Smash Bros.
Literally everyone else is doing something on a football field. Except the Saints. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. The Sports Hangover. Gus Kattengill, Matt Hudak, Jordan Kleber. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs, I guess. Next, ESPN New Orleans.
Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Every pro on your team wants to work with a Husqvarna, and who can blame them? Husqvarna products are powerful, ergonomic, and packed with innovation. Now we're making it easier than ever to put Husqvarna in their hands with our cost-saving fleet program, where commercial customers can save up to 20% on new equipment purchases. If you want more Husqvarna in their hands and more money in your pocket, get all your new equipment through the Husqvarna fleet program. Visit Southern Trailer Works in Schriever, between Home and Thibodeau, or online at southerntrailerworks.com.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Can we talk
about sports?
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. Questions of the day. We'll throw that out there here as well. Coming up bottom of the hour, we'll talk a little bit. We'll head over to Nashville. The state of Tennessee is pretty important this week, right?
Very important.
Yeah. Julio.
Julio.
It is interesting how now, apparently, per, you know, social media, it is the most unstoppable receiving core in the league. Maddie, can you name the other receivers for the Tennessee Titans?
A.J. Brown.
And there was a third picture next to Julio. Exactly. That's my point. It is now, though, the most unstoppable, apparently, receiving core in
Corey
the NFL.
Davis?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, they have another good receiver.
Okay, yeah, right, but that's my point. You think of, like, the Titans, and you think of?
Josh Reynolds?
No.
Okay, but y'all proving my point. But it is, per Twitter and NFL circles, now the most unstoppable receiving core in the league.
Hard to argue with that, and you also put Derrick Henry in the mix.
How to change that offense? It will be interesting to sort of see.
Yeah. You know?
I did see another tweet, too, that Dov Kleiman, right? The individual that broke the Saints schedule the day before, or the day that their schedules were being released, if y'all remember, he put up stats, Jordan. I'm shocked and just absolutely baffled that you did not send me this, by the way.
What was that? What was that again?
So Dov Kleiman, remember, he was the one that broke the NFL schedule.
Yes.
So he posted something that I am just absolutely surprised you didn't, like, send to me 100 times over. A couple days back, I'm going to pull it up accurately. So here we go. I'm going to give you the following. Okay, I see what he did. He retweeted CBSSports.com's. Quarterback rating. One quarterback has 111.3 Matty. Okay. The other 103.6.
I know where you're going with this.
That same quarterback with the higher quarterback rating has 6,400 passing yards. The lower quarterback rating one has 7,500. Total touchdowns, though, higher quarterback rating 66. Lower quarterback rating one, quarterback B, 58. One has 12 interceptions. The other has 11. Completion percentage, 67% to 65. The one that has the most statistical category winning, Ryan Tannehill over Pat Mahomes.
That doesn't Ryan Tannehill has one of the more efficient stat books kind of out there. I think he's like the definition of like playing to someone's strengths. I mm-hmm. think they really like maximized him to the best of his value. But
now there's an asterisk to the stats.
Is there?
Yes, there is. That's over the last 26 starts. That's just, but that, you know, they're taking the last 26 starts. And with the last 26 starts, yeah, he has more touchdowns than Pat Mahomes, one more interception.
What's the asterisk?
That it's just the last 26 starts. Like, Pat Mahomes has more than 26 starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, like the year he won the MVP.
26 is insignificant.
Well, I'm just saying it's, that's what it was. It's not like through their careers and last season.
Well, yeah, because Ryan Tannehill was drowning in Miami for the start of his career.
Yeah, but it is surprising, right? Because let's be honest, whoever brings up Ryan Tannehill in the top 10 quarterback competition, when people start talking about top quarterbacks in the NFL, are you bringing him up like in conversation to people, like podcasting or something like that? When you think of AFC, you're probably rattling off Allen, Mahomes, right? I mean, that's immediate. That's the first quarterbacks you kind of get to.
Well, stats only tell like a very limited part of the story. I think it's more of like the intangibles that you see in like Breeze and his ability to read pre-snap and all those types of things that just kind of seems like Ryan Tannehill, again, is very efficient in play action style offense designed for kind of short, quick releases and not that much having the game on his shoulders. He's not someone that when I would have like a 2-minute drill on the line, I'd think, oh, Ryan Tannehill, although he might be pretty efficient in them, it's just not who I would think of. He just has a very efficient offense set up between Henry and his receivers that just opens up.
So let me ask you this. Where do you think this move puts Tennessee in the AFC? I guess, you know, what we like to do here, right? Power rankings. Yeah. Oh, did that make you nauseous there a little bit? It's not me. I'm just saying that's how we cover the league, right? Power rankings. Are you putting them among the top? I mean, are they Buffalo? Now, remember, they were in the AFC championship game, right? Two seasons ago. But when you look at their division, it's the Texans, Colts, Jags, Titans. I mean, that they're clearly the favorite in that division. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah. As of now.
I mean, let's see what Carson Wentz does at Indy. I don't know.
Let's see what Tebow and Lawrence do.
You said Tebow first. That's interesting. Not the number one pick overall. And Trevor Lawrence, we went Tim Tebow. Are you starting something already? Are you? Because apparently the word Tim Tebow sets people off.
Oh, right? I know it does. People really feel some type
people
of
are absolutely
it.
Convinced he's getting 75 snaps a game. I mean, it is just, they're convinced that what, again, I don't know. Do we have any Tim Tebow update, like in minicamp? Has he caught a pass? I'm shocked that
honestly
we haven't.
Shocked that I haven't heard more about Tim Tebow.
Oh, you want more Tim Tebow? Really? I'm shocked. I mean, we get, you know, videos of what I just saw a little bit ago, the Packers running onto the mini camp, and you know who's not there, Betty? Aaron Rodgers. But you know who is there? You just told me during the break. Who is there for the Green Bay Packers?
Jake Dolagala?
Yes. Jordan, you've heard of Jake.
Oh, yeah, Jake.
Yeah, the prolific.
From State Farm.
Might as well
He's apparently the fourth quarterback for Green Bay. He's getting snaps today. Yeah. You know who's not getting snaps today, by the way?
Aaron Rodgers?
The Saints.
Oh, the Saints?
Yeah, even though it is minicamp.
Okay. Everybody.
I promise
team.
I'll let it go. Everyone else is practicing. Why are we not? Now, you don't think it's a big deal, Matt. You said during the break, it's not a big deal that basically the entire NFL at least has, like, broken a sweat on a football field. The Saints have had meetings.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, if someone goes and tells you to jump off a bridge, do you go do it just because everyone else is? I this is just me thinking out loud here, but maybe they found some benefits in some of the aspects from last season. Like, people kind of found benefits in remote work in the pandemic, and, like, maybe there were some benefits they found that kind of reduced.
I'm not the only one that's confused right above your head on the TV in the studio. On SportsCenter, they literally have Saints continue OTAs, comma, mandatory minicamp begins June 15th. That's not what I'm
I just, I think that, like, with all eyes on the quarterback
I
battle.
I just don't know what's going on.
I think that they want to give the, like, those types of things a little bit more time to develop, because that would have just been, like, spotlight on the two of them, who's getting the first snap, just completely dominating the narrative. Like, it already is, but little look at that. But like you said, there's a group of them. There's been groups of them practicing together. Like, Zach Strieff came out and said, like, he worked on all of these improvements despite there not being any, you know, workouts on the books. So I just think they might be kind of just.
I understand. Look, I understand your point. At the same time, I'm not saying Jordan's a perfect example, but Jordan can practice his threes and dunking from his driveway. It would be completely different than actually in a practice with his teammates.
But are you telling me 3 days are paramount?
I didn't say just 3 days. I don't know why they're not doing OTAs. I get these teams are, you know, opting out and everything. Even Tom Brady, who was working out down the street, showed up today and had a practice with his teammates, is what I'm getting at.
I think it's where Gus come from. Like, if all your other competitors are doing it, then why aren't you?
I'm just saying, like, I have a hard time believing that, you know, so many key players in positions need time on task, as Drew would always tell us, that we're going to wait till August. If we don't have to, well, I guess we do. I don't know. I just, you say it's just 3 days, but that's 3 days of work that is better than not to me. Now, again, I don't know. I'd love to hear from you guys. If you think it's a big deal at all, that literally Saints are just meeting. And again, I'm just confused. The league says mandatory minicamp is next week. The players are talking today.
Yeah,
they're here today.
To be quite
mandatory
honest with you,
attendance.
I don't entirely understand all of it.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
That's why I'm trying not to be overly critical of things when I myself there's so much discrepancy between what's going on right now. This just seems
and there could also be a very real thing that stuff is happening and we're just not being told.
Or it could just be the art of creating a crisis just to go from a Bill Parcells.
No, like I said,
why are we all freaking, we're all talking about this. No one's talking about
I'm not Jordan, you got 11-6 on the wall of truth over there. I'm not saying this bumps the win total down to by not practicing.
Is this something people do?
What?
Keep a win total up?
Yes, that's what we do here. Everyone keeps a win total. Yeah. Because you want to be able to prove if they do go 11-6 that you called it all the way in the month of April.
Maddie,
that's,
we need to get, Maddie, you got to get yours up there.
Yeah, Maddie, we need a win total. That's what we do. That's why it's on the wall of truth.
Okay. So that when we go back,
come January,
7 months from now.
Exactly right.
I was right.
Yes.
Just to say that.
All that this is about. Jordan wants to, on January 2nd, when the season ends, he wants to go, I told you, 11-6. Literally, that is why we do the wall of truth.
They tie game 17.
Right. That is it. Yeah, exactly. We have a tie.
I forgot about
11,
the whole tie.
11-5-1.
Maddie.
Is Maddie going to live? I feel like this is Price and Price is Right, right? When you say $1 or whatever it is to try to, 99 cents to try not to go over and under and you win.
Get us Raphael. And
Jack, you got about 2.5 minutes, sir, before we go to the bottom of the hour and bring in our first guest. How are you today?
Hello, everybody. I hope you enjoyed your vacation. Gus, sounds like you did.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I'm confused, though, because Maddie came on Friday and said she was taking over. I thought that meant you weren't coming back. I didn't know what happened.
Look, man, if there was a way that I could have stayed out there and lived on the boat and in the water, I would find a way. But, apparently, judging by the size of those boats and what I saw people drinking on, just bottles, on the top of the bow. I mean, just... lots of money, and I'm nowhere near that category, so I got to get back to work. Jack, what you got, man?
Well, my question is, if what Brooklyn did last night is going to continue, give me a reason to continue to watch the NBA playoffs, because I can't think of one.
Notice I've waited 30 minutes to get into it. It's one of our questions of the day, Jordan, and that is...
Yeah, so do you think that there's anybody in the Eastern or Western Conference that could beat the Brooklyn Nets? It's a poll question out there at ESPN Radio NOLA. You could comment or call in 800-998-1003.
Oh, it's 50-50 right now.
Yeah, I was surprised because James Harden really didn't play in game one after getting injured early, didn't play in game two with a hammy, and they absolutely spanked the Bucks. So the East is won. Is there anybody in the West that can beat them? I'm with you. I'm kind of surprised by how dominant they really have been, Jack.
I think a lot of that came from Blake Griffin's random resurgence, honestly. Like, especially with James going out early.
Jack?
Yeah, if they're going to be able to do this without James Harden, I think I'll just bone up on football for the, because, I mean, there's no point in watching this.
Yeah.
Because I think Milwaukee's better than anybody who might come out of the West. I don't think either one of those teams has any chance against Brooklyn. So
you better have firepower now.
That's what I'm thinking.
No problem, man. Appreciate it, Jack. Utah, they got firepower. You know, they can knock down those threes. They got good guard play. They got a big and Rudy Gobert that can really help.
Good luck.
Yeah. Phoenix won yesterday. We'll touch on that. And then the Nets did as well tonight. Got two games in action, Jordan. Looking forward to seeing Atlanta and Philly. I tell you what, Jack. They were up by like 30 points, and then Philly made it a game. Atlanta won game one, and in game one between the Clippers and Utah tonight at TNT. 6:30, 9 o'clock, your tip time. When we come back, Caroline Fenton is going to join us. She's up in Nashville. We'll talk about LSU Tennessee and just how good are the Titans now since they have Julio Jones. It's the Sports Hangover, Hour 1 on ESPN New Orleans.
Bad to the bone. I broke 1,000 hearts before I met you.
A new name, a new era. TGMC is now Terrebonne General Health System. This change reflects our transition to more of an all-around healthcare partner rather than just a healthcare provider. With new facilities, new innovations, and new ways to help you, we've done more than change our name. We've changed our future. To see what's new at Terrebonne General Health System, visit tghealthsystem.com.
It's so on. The SiriusXM Listen Free event is happening now. Just press the sat button in your car to hear over 100 channels, including ad-free music of every kind, plus sports play-by-play and talk and news for everyone. Enjoy even more free when you download the SXM app. Hear expertly curated podcasts, ad-free extra channels of music for any mood, SiriusXM video, and the ability to create your own Pandora music stations. Don't miss out. Listen free now.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
DIY means sawdust, work gloves, and the right tools. But at the Home Depot, the right tools means more than hammers and saws. It means a mobile app with built-in image search. That's a tool. Access an entire rental department with a swipe. That's another tool. For any project, start to finish, this isn't just DIY. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Download our mobile app to get started.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
To fine or not to fine? I'll ask Maddie that question coming up here in 15 minutes. Gus Kattengill, Maddie Huda, Jordan Kleber. I'm back in the car.
Go somewhere last week?
I did.
Yeah, I
know.
He hasn't talked about it.
I know. Right. I know. Caroline Fenton, co-host of Stillman and Company over at 102.5 The Game up in Nashville. Caroline, thank you for joining us this afternoon. How are you?
Thanks for having me. You know, I just poured my second cup of coffee because I was up pretty late watching a certain LSU baseball team win last night. It's worth the sleep deprivation, but man, that was something. That was a nail biter.
LSU enthusiast is how you describe yourself when I see you doing stuff in and around ESPN Network and stuff. But you also have a little history with Jordan here. You can confirm that there truly was a moment early on in his sports career at LSU where he suffered an injury covering his very first sporting event, Jordan.
Yes, my very first baseball game.
It was one of those things that we kind of jokingly warn new reporters about, you know, like when you're going to cover an LSU baseball game, got to watch out, don't want to get hit by a ball. And poor Jordan, when he was a newcomer, got knocked in the face by a ball.
It was absolutely horrible. But hey,
I'm glad that you recovered, though, because you lived to tell the tale and now we're here.
He broke his nose.
Exactly. And at the end, they give away awards at the Manship School. Yeah. So my reward was, you know, sticking in there and actually, you know, staying, you know, going to report the games again.
Did you keep the game? Yeah. Did you keep the baseball? I mean, like, did you get everybody on staff to sign the baseball or something?
No, I didn't. No, just one of the players, hey, are you all right? And I'm fine. And then he picked up the ball and just threw it back out to the outfield.
All right. Oh, you threw it back?
No, the player that threw it at me.
He wanted the ball back.
Well, he asked if he was okay, briefly. Okay.
That was your first story, though. Sort of like, you know, Caroline, like when somebody gets their first base hit or something, they keep the ball, you know, they steal a certain number of bases, they give him the base. I mean, Jordan should have kept the ball, I think. Yeah.
It's like his trophy. It's a souvenir. He earned it.
I'll get you a baseball, and then I'll, like, put a dent in it or something. We'll call it that.
Anyway,
Caroline Fenton joining us because, actually, your state's kind of big in the news here. Obviously, LSU will start there and then move on to the Titans here, but it's interesting. I already saw today Kendall Rogers from D1 Baseball tweeted that, you know, people he spoke with LSU, they go back to that series against the Vols, bad taste in their mouth. The Vols already as well. It kind of feels, as he tweeted, this is going to be a testy and intense series. Why do you think that is for Tennessee and LSU?
I think it will be a very testy series because these are two teams that just absolutely refuse to give up. If I've learned anything in my tenure of covering LSU baseball, it was expect the unexpected because LSU could drop a midweek game to McNeese and then no shade to McNeese, but they could drop a midweek game, lose 11-2 and then turn around and sweep Vanderbilt that weekend. So that is a gritty team that plays all nine innings. And I don't know if you saw a walk-off grand slam from Tennessee baseball this past weekend. If gritty and playing all nine innings can describe LSU, can also describe Tennessee as well. And these are two teams that cannot quit, two teams with really great bullpens. And it's fun because there's a huge contrast that I see in these two coaches. You have Paul Mainieri, who's been in the game for 40 years. He's won his championship. He's on his way out. And then you have Tony Vitello, who is this rising star in the college baseball world, who's been able to completely turn around this Tennessee baseball program. And it looks like it's on the track to become one of these storied SEC baseball programs like LSU, like Vanderbilt, like Ole Miss. So it should be really, really fun to watch these teams go at it. It's almost like, you know, the blue bloods versus the new guys, the LSU versus Tennessee.
Interesting. And back in March in that series, it was swept by the Vols 3-1, 9-8, and 11, and 3-2-8. So there's that closeness that you're talking about in terms of this. And it's interesting that you kind of put it in that dynamic too, the guys that are trying to make Omaha sort of their thing. Whereas LSU, let's be honest, just a couple weeks ago, it's like that. They were waiting to see if they were going to make a regional. Things didn't start out well, get there. Now all of a sudden, you're two wins away from going back to Omaha, which almost seems remarkable.
It absolutely does seem remarkable because throughout this season, I love the LSU baseball dearly. I'm an LSU alum, but I was just kind of writing this season off as a wash. I thought, okay, you know, I hate that Paul Mainieri is going out on a low note, but maybe it's time to go, and then they'll start to rebuild, and they'll start to turn things back around. But that turnaround turned out to happen much quicker than I thought it would because it happened in the postseason. This was a team that just didn't look like they could get anything together. They couldn't get their bats moving. They just didn't look like one cohesive team. But in that regional, in Eugene, they looked like a good team. And I'm really excited to see how long they can keep this going and if Paul can really pull it out for his final season.
One final thing on this series, and we'll move on to the Titans. What was the preseason, I guess, expectations for Tennessee? What was it, Omaha?
I think that we kind of got a little bit of a preview of what Tennessee baseball was going to be in that shortened season last year before COVID, because Tennessee was one of the top-ranked teams in the SEC before the rest of the season got canceled. So I think that my personal biggest question was that a fluke or is that what they're going to be? So I actually had really high expectations for this Tennessee baseball team, which isn't something that has happened over in Knoxville. You know, they're hosting a super regional for the first time ever. So this is really the first time that they're not just being talked about, but actually real life Omaha expectations. So after seeing that preview of it last year, I think that people kind of expected a little bit more than what Tennessee baseball had been in the past, but I don't think the expectation was this. I don't think the expectation was Tennessee could have a better season than Vanderbilt, because in the state of Tennessee, the Vandy boys kind of rule everything. So I think that their talent wasn't a surprise, but just their sheer dominance this season is unexpected and unprecedented.
Speaking with Caroline Fenton at Caroline Fenton 1 is the way to follow her over on Twitter. She's co-host at Stillman and Company, 1025 The Game. Let's move over to the Titans, because per Twitter, right, the most dominant receiving corps in the NFL now. It's interesting because Tennessee, for the last couple of seasons, look, you've seen how far to be able to get an AFC championship game. And obviously with Derrick Henry, I kind of think of them, Tannehill, the manager. What does this move sort of bring to that team? But I guess start with the excitement level of that fan base all of a sudden in getting this trade.
You know, it's funny because I feel like the fan base is a little mixed half and half. One half is just absolutely thrilled and excited and ready to hoist that Lombardi trophy. But I think there are some fans that are out there that are a little bit skeptical, which they have every right to be, because acquiring Julio Jones costs a lot. He has a $15.3 million salary this year. They've had to redo Ryan Tannehill's contract, extend him for two more years, and his new cap hit next year is $40-something million. So I think fans are a little bit worried about down the road, what will this Julio Jones trade move mean for the Titans? Because it sounds like this year the Titans are going for it. Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry have a small window that's closing, 2 to 3 years, I think. They're getting older, and NFL, not for long. So I think bringing in this Julio move was the Titans' front office way of saying, look, we're going to exhaust our resources, we're going to do everything we can, and we're going to capitalize on this window to get a Super Bowl. I personally don't think that this Titans team is one Julio Jones away from winning a Super Bowl. I think there are a lot of other elements that are missing. The Titans' defense last year was just absolutely atrocious, and they added Bud Dupree in the pass rush, which should elevate that defense a bit. And the offense, I mean, saying that the offense will be elevated is an understatement for sure. And if you've got A.J. Brown, you've got Julio Jones on the other side, and you've got Josh Reynolds in the slot, and then you've got one of the best running backs in the NFL there with him. So, yes, his offense will be absolutely electric. But my only question is, okay, yes, it will be, but what does that defense look like? And can this team really beat the Chiefs? Can they get past the Chiefs and the Bills and Cleveland and Pittsburgh to get to that Super Bowl? And I'm not quite convinced yet.
Well, Caroline, this is Maddie Hudak speaking, and my dad is a Cleveland Brown fan, and if he heard that statement where you just put the Browns in that sentence, I think he might, that would be it for him. But
it kind of tasted like vinegar a little coming out of my mouth, I'm not going to lie.
He understands. My thing with the Julio thing, and this is what I think Atlanta really lost there, it's not so much Julio as it is that wide receiver, too, in Calvin Ridley, who's now really kind of left by himself. So to me, this is kind of less about Julio and more about A.J. Brown. I was really high on Corey Davis. I thought that he was a huge contributor, and I thought it was a really big loss for you guys. So does this move kind of compensate for the loss of Davis and Jonnu Smith?
It does. It does compensate. And that's, I think, my number one worry was in the offseason and free agency, the Titans had to give up to get a little bit, had to give up a lot to get a little bit, and they needed to elevate that defense. And they did that in Bud Dupree. But in acquiring Bud Dupree, they were left with a big hole on offense and losing Corey Davis and losing Jonnu Smith. So bringing in Julio Davis, I think, is an upgrade from Corey Davis. But I still worry about that tight end position. Right now you have Anthony Firkser and Jeff Swain in mid-depth at tight end. So don't love that, but I think that you're going to see the Titans' offense shift more to a three-wide receiver system rather than a two-tight end system, which they've been using in the past. And, you know, losing Jonnu Smith, I think, was a big hit, but adding Julio Jones is huge. And you mentioned A.J. Brown. I think that A.J. Brown is the perfect person to bring in a seasoned veteran like Julio Jones. I think some wide receivers could feel like their territory was kind of being brought in upon, and maybe those two number one guys wouldn't work together. How would they feel about splitting that workload? And that was a concern of mine. Nobody has recruited more for Julio Jones than A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown has said so many times that Julio Jones was his idol growing up. That's who he wanted to become in the NFL. So now being his partner, I think, is like a dream come true for A.J. Brown. And I was worried about how Julio Jones would feel coming in and stepping into that number two spot after he'd been that dude in Atlanta for so long. But he said today, A.J. Brown, keep number 11. I'll get a different number. You take that number. I don't care how many targets I get. I just want to be on a team that wins. So it, from the way that it sounds right now going into this season, these two guys are on board. They're ready for the teamwork, and they're ready to split this load, in addition to Josh Reynolds.
Caroline, real quick before we let you go, I know you said that you don't think this Julio Jones trade really closes the gap that much with the Kansas City Chiefs and Buffalo Bills, but what else do you think that they need to add in? And do you think that, you know, it might close the gap a little bit more throughout the season, seeing the productivity that he puts out?
I think pass rush. Bud Dupree had an ACL tear last year, so a little bit worried about Bud Dupree's health. If he can stay healthy and if he can continue to produce like he did in Pittsburgh and even do more so than that, then I think that'll bring them to the next level. And also there are some questions at corner. You know, feel great about having Jackrabbit here in Nashville, but Caleb Farley, who the Titans drafted this year, has a bad back injury. So not really sure how he'll respond to that. Christian Fulton, former LSU Tiger, is also on the Titans roster at corner. Hasn't had a ton of experience in the NFL yet. So a lot of question marks at corner. A lot of depth, but a lot of question marks at corner. But I think that adding like a really quality, reliable pass rush is what's going to do it for the Titans.
Good stuff. Good info there. So we'll see how soon the season happens. By the way, this is just for me. Are they having OTAs in minicamp? Like, is this like real football being practiced out there since the Saints are just meeting and no practice is involved? I'm just asking.
Yes, they are doing, they did rookie minicamp and they're doing OTA.
That. Yeah, there we go. Just
everybody else but the
Saints. I'm just shocked. I don't know. I mean, they're having, you know, availability today, but there's no 7-on-7. There's no team drills. It's, you know, there's just meetings.
It's called FOMO.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting, is it, Caroline? Thank you so much for your time today. Go ahead.
Interesting. I said, I will leave it at that. That's interesting. Yeah.
I guess, Jordan, we need to cut, you know, Allen Iverson's famous practice.
Talking about practice.
Yeah, just go ahead and cut that. We'll just play Saints that instead of practice. The, you know, when the Saints go marching in music, we'll just play that from here on out. And just, you know, we'll see in September. I mean, you know.
No need to practice.
No need to practice.
Caroline Fenton. Yeah, no need. They'll be fine. Football's not hard, right?
She co-hosts over at Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game. Go give her a follow at Caroline Fenton 1. Appreciate your time so much today. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline.
Appreciate you.
I'm really not trying to make this a big deal or not.
I think it's a big deal.
I think I may be on to something, though. Or at least Maddie is. I'll explain where you come back. You look puzzled, but I promise you, this might be a compliment. Might be a pat on your back. We like to pat our backs here.
Y'all do.
We do. We do. Maddie might be patting her back here next on ESPN New York.
Oh, yeah. Golden Motors right here in Cutoff, Louisiana is the place to buy your next Chevrolet, Buick, or nearly new pre-owned or any make or model vehicle that you're looking for. Golden Motors, nestled only 60 miles from New Orleans, only 35 to 40 minutes from Homo Thibodeau area, and only seconds from www.goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, where price is priority. Cut off Louisiana, 985-325-1000, or goldenmotors.com. Chevy, find new roads.
It's Mike DeTillia for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails operate a comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated, locations in Houma, La Rose, and Thibodeau.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But E-Tail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing E-Tail Business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. E-Tail is on for business.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Gus Kattengau, Matty Hudak, Jordan Kleber with you. It's the Sports Hangover, hour number one. Coming up next at 1:15, our next guest, Rafael Esparza, Senior Vegas. I'll ask him. I happen to have dinner, by the way. Did you know I went to Miami over the last couple of weeks? I didn't know if you did or not. So
Miami, Ohio?
No, not the same. Miami, Florida. Mm-hmm. And so my wife books us dinner, you know, Saturday night. She's like, we're taking you out date night, whatever. Go to this Scarpetta, this place in the Fountain Blue Hotel. And apparently that's where Money Mayweather is staying. Did not know that, by the way.
You didn't go to the fight?
No, didn't go to the fight. Okay, which,
quote,
again,
unquote.
Yeah, yes, yeah, quote,
correct.
Unquote fight.
By the way.
But I will say, I've seen photos. I know it existed, but saw several Lamborghini SUVs, Ferraris. I mean, there was a lot of money where Money Mayweather was staying. Lots of fans, t-shirt wearing fans. I mean, it was eye opening. Again, it's a nice, you know, date night, and
I can't
believe Collins Avenue.
You just see
was
famous
just,
people when you're on vacation.
No, I'm almost positive. I'm almost positive Russell Crowe ate dinner next to us. I'm almost positive. Does not look like the gladiator Russell Crowe.
But you're almost positive.
And when he thanked Ryan, the server.
Shout out to Ryan.
Yeah, I heard the accent. You know, it's Australian. So I heard the accent. I'm like, and I think that was Russell Crowe. So I've eaten where, you know, Sinatra played there and everything. Believe me, it's a once in a lifetime sort of thing.
How nice.
But my point was, I got to see, you know, like just ridiculous amount of cars and everything.
And he didn't even go to the fight of the
No,
decade.
I didn't know. The only reason I know that was where it was coming, there was like one elevator next to a, I would say, special jewelry shop. As in, like, it's guarded by someone and it's
like, and they have guns on the, like.
No, not guns, but there's like a chair with an associate that, you know, shows you watches and necklaces and everything. It's like a very high end. Gotcha. Like you have to be buzzed in.
Sounds then, nice, Maddie, huh?
No, yeah. Trust me, I would have never walked into that. There's no.
Sounds like Gus got on some jewelry.
No. What I'm trying to, I guess, convey here is sort of like, I was like, I am really out of place. And I'm, you know, comfortable at just a, you know, like when you go eat, they have like the little dollar bill signs to tell you how much.
Oh, they didn't have those?
It no, was just, this was you a just five one. I'm good with like one or two, three.
I think at that place, okay. There wouldn't be a price on it. Just you get it and then you
no,
get
it's
your
like
bill.
When, no, like when then, you pull oh, it up God. On like Google Maps or something, you know, it tells you what to expect gotcha. And what kind of place gotcha. That is. Yes.
I thought you were talking about the menu.
Well, that one too. We're staying in town for a while. Let's just, you know. But it's a good date night. I was just saying, I was not expecting to. I didn't know she had booked, and she didn't either. Like, we pull in, I'm like, why is it taking? It just looked like 45 minutes to get off of 395 and go down Collins Avenue where the hotels is on South Beach. And yachts and Lamborghinis and my parents' Nissan Rogue fit in just beautiful.
So anyway, speaking of cheese, down in Green Bay, they're kind of proving my point as to why there's a benefit to not having off-season
That's
workouts.
Right. I want practice!
And it's the roast of Jordan Love.
I want OTAs. I want video of Jameis Winston backpedaling, no pass rush, looking right, throwing left, 3-yard pass to Michael Thomas, who then catches it, runs with no one chasing him.
No one.
In shorts and a jersey, then pulls up and then flips it to some coach, and then the camera goes to another. Oh, there's Alvin Kamara catching a screen pass, puts a move on the grass, and then goes up the sideline. I want to see that, Maddie.
I want stretchy time.
I want stretchy time. I want 7-on-7s. I want team drills. I want situational football, like 4th and 7 in Green Bay, Maddie.
I was going to say, you want...
what did I get?
I want the kicking competition.
But what happened? 4th and 7 in Green Bay.
Well, yeah, you want answers, and this is the downside of getting answers and showing your cards a little early when your star quarterback doesn't show up. Rob Domofsky on Twitter, Jordan Love's first crack at the 2-minute drill, in parentheses, that we've seen, barely gets past midfield and ends with him skying a pass over wide open Malik Taylor's head on 4th and 7 from the plus 46. But, you know, they... With Aaron Rodgers under center, kicked a field goal on 4th and 1 in the NFC Championship.
You found that interesting on 4th and 7.
Just go for it.
Well, Maddie, it's right now, again, it's, you know, mini camp. So what the heck? Let's go for it on 4th and 7.
Yeah, Jake Dolagala, Blake Bortles, everyone get out there. And...
Speaking of Blake Bortles, he had a crack too because there's no Aaron Rodgers. How did Blake Bortles do?
I have absolutely no idea.
Two cracks at it. One went nowhere. The other ended with a 35-yard touchdown to tight end as Isaac Nauta or something.
Nice.
Hey! He scored a touchdown, though. Let me tell you something. What it shows me, Maddie, because we're going to overanalyze this, is he bounced back. Blake bounced back Bortles after throwing the ball to nowhere, came back with a 35-yard score, and you know what? That tells me Jordan Love's in trouble.
Blake Bortles has led teams to playoff wins.
He did.
He is a... Yeah.
Are we locking it? Are we locking playoffs for Blakey B?
It's Blake Bortles' time.
Is Blake... Well, no. I mean, is Blake?
Well, this is exactly the issue. Yeah.
Who's starting week one against the Saints?
See, this is exactly why the Saints aren't at OTAs right now, because
you sure?
The second that Jameis Winston's out there, quarterback competition's over. Okay. Jameis throws an incompletion, everyone's having a meltdown. Now everyone's focusing on Jordan Love's incompletion again, setting up the pinnacle of failure.
How was it? Sailed high
over his head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
on 4th and 7, because why not?
And look, not that we're following what's going on in Green Bay. Again, above Maddie's head on our TV here in studio, it was live on SportsCenter. They retweeted Rob Domofsky's tweet about the ball sailing high and incomplete.
I've always said the best information is kept secret, and this is what
this is why you're completely fine with absolutely nothing come out of Saints camp other than the stations that they have set up for us to enjoy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yes.
I want video.
I want more.
I want practice.
You all say that until you get those videos and then it's meltdown time.
That's what makes content.
Ignorance is bliss.
Oh, come on. So you don't want, like, tomorrow after we went, say, saw practice today and on 7-on-7s, Andres Pete gives up a sack. I mean, come on. First team drill. No? You don't want that?
It's a double-edged sword, Maddie. On one side of the ball, the offense,
Sean Fruit
on one side of the ball, the offense could look horrible.
Horrible.
And then you say, the defense.
Defense wins championships.
Sheldon Rankin, too.
While you're complimenting
Marcus Davenport is here. He's speaking, by the way, today. We'll hear what he has to say here as soon as everybody wraps up. They decided to talk from 12 to 1, folks. We're going to give it to you as soon as we're done, but...
Hey.
So you're okay with this because of that? Because literally...
I mean, I was fine with it before that, but that just really went and showed what that could look like.
Like, we're not making it up. This is word for word. Jordan Love's first crack, the 2-minute drill, that what we've seen, barely gets past midfield and ends with him skying a pass over a wide-open Malik Taylor and over his head on 4th and 7. From the plus minus 46.
I need video.
I don't really know what that means. You want video now?
I need video.
Yeah?
Someone's got to have
it. Well, remember, just last week, Ben Baby was posting video of Joe Burrow.
He was.
Hitting Ja'Marr Chase, who did what? Dropped the pass, and everyone called him a bust.
Yep. Another example of public.
Maddie's on this. Maddie's like, Gus, this is exactly what the New Orleans Saints should be doing. Hour one is right. You got video?
Well, it's not of the play.
Oh, this is not the play?
It's not the play, but there's reporters there.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the video I want. Look at how much you can get from this. We'll come back with what this tweet does, Maddie. This is a lot of info. on that little piece of 7 seconds.
I might have to change my record.
Hour one's brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-